The reading is from Ephesians 5, verse 21 to chapter 6, verse 9. Instructions for Christian households. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy. Cleanse her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slaves or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So I'm going to pray for Joe and pray for us as we look at this passage together. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, thank you for the word that you've given Joe today to speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you come and move in this place? Would you speak to our hearts and minds? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
During the wedding rehearsal, the groom took the vicar on one side and made him an offer. Look, I'll give you £100 if you leave out the bit in the vows where I promise to love and cherish and, forsaking all others, be faithful to her forever. He passed the vicar the cash. The wedding day arrived, and the vicar looked at the young man and said, "Will you vow to serve your wife breakfast in bed every morning? And will you promise to ask her at the end of every day how her day has gone and listen to her carefully? And will you swear before God that you will not even look at another woman as long as you both shall live?" The groom's eyes opened wide as he squeaked, "I will." And then he leant to the vicar and he hissed, "I thought we had a deal." And the vicar whispered back, "Your wife made me a better offer," and he gave back the £100. So this little humorous story just shows how people try to get their own way in relationships. Today's passage is a very serious and controversial topic. And in this era of the Me Too campaign and with the issue of gender pay inequality, it's not easy to preach this kind of a message today. But stick with me as we listen about wives submitting to their husbands and all the rest. And I'm up for being grilled afterwards. If you want to ask me questions afterwards, especially Catherine, go ahead. So I know you've been working your way through Ephesians, and you've seen how Paul explains the new life in Christ. He sees the church as a new society, and he wants to explain how it should function. And he talks in this passage about three sets of Christian people that have to get along together: wives and husbands, children and parents, and slaves and masters. And our key text today is verse 21, the first verse: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I learnt to drive in London's crazy traffic, and I'm just going to tell you that I passed first time. But I remember the first time I drove out into the countryside, and the roads were empty. And there were little hills like this. I felt like I was on a roller coaster. And then when I got to those narrow bridges, I realized that you really had to give way if you wanted to avoid a head-on collision. And the passage in Ephesians starts with, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. It's a bit like having a give way sign on each side of the bridge. The best way to have harmony in relationships and to avoid head-on collisions is to give way, to yield to one another. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, I wonder what you think of when you hear the word submission. I know somebody who has two whippets, and apparently, if their master lowers his head, the dogs lower theirs even further. And when the master lowers their heads further, the dogs lower it further. They literally are trying to get lower than their master. They're trying to show that they're beneath their master. They're subservient to their master. Is this what submission means in the kingdom of God? Submission, the word submission is often seen as being like a doormat. But this isn't the biblical view of submission. In the kingdom of God, everyone is of equal value. And so submission in the kingdom of God is choosing to put others first. The New Testament is full of passages about submission. Firstly, submission to Christ, but also submission to government authorities and submission to each other. Today we're going to see how Paul gives the church a household code. Have you seen those plaques that people hang in their kitchens? They might say things like, in our house we say please and thank you. We do our best. We count our blessings. We forgive and forget. We use kind words. We laugh at ourselves. Well, our passage today is a household code. And I'm going to spend my time unpacking the first section. I'm going to spend more time on that, on wives and husbands, and then we'll look briefly at children and parents, and then slaves and masters. So, wives and husbands. Now, if you're like me, you're not married, or maybe your partner is no longer with you, but please don't switch off, because I think you'll find this helpful anyway. Paul talks to the wives first. And it's worth just mentioning that this passage is about the marriage relationship. It's not about women and, in general, submitting to men. And Paul has three main points. Firstly, wives are called to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. But remember, this verse is connected to the previous verse, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. It doesn't say that the woman should obey their husband, actually, and nor does it make the man the boss and the wife the servant. Secondly, Paul clearly gives the husband a leadership role in the relationship, but in no way does this suggest that women are inferior or have a lower status. But then the third point, and Paul really focuses in on this point, the pattern for marriage relationships is based on the relationship of Christ and the church. Christian wives are being told to respect and honor their husbands and to submit to them as the church submits to Christ. But there are challenges in living out this teaching, aren't there? What if the husband isn't a Christian? 1 Peter 3, verse 1 says, "Wives, in the same way, accept the authority of your husbands, so that even if some of them do not obey the word, they may be won over without a word by their wives' conduct." The Bible seems to encourage Christian wives to submit even to non-Christian husbands. But is this with no exceptions? Well, when Peter was being persecuted in Jerusalem and was told not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus, he told the high priest, "We must obey God first rather than any human authority." So from this, we can presume that wives shouldn't submit to their husbands if it prevents them from worshiping and obeying God. And again, let's remember our key verse, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. A wife isn't called to be a doormat. She doesn't lose her ability to make decisions, and there is no place for any kind of abuse in the Christian home. Although we know it's sadly not always the case, the Christian marriage relationship is supposed to be a beautiful picture of Christ and the church. So the next, Paul turns to husbands, and the key word that he uses here is love. When I was a teacher in China, I taught English to university students, and I used to play a game with them. And the game was about giving people two terrible choices. They had to discuss in a group and decide which of the two awful choices was the worst option. So, for example, I would ask them, "Would you rather marry someone you loved but they didn't love you? Or would you rather marry someone you loved, someone who loved you but you didn't love them?" Shall I say that again? Would you rather marry someone you loved, but they didn't love you? Or would you rather marry someone who loved you, but you didn't love them? They're both terrible choices, I realize that. But most times I found that the girls, the young women that I was teaching, would choose to have somebody love them. And most times the young men would choose to love the wife. That was more important to them. I'm just giving that as an example to show that men and women have different needs in relationships and maybe even view marriage in a slightly different way. Husbands are to love their wives. The Greek word that Paul uses for love is agape, and this is a really strong word. It means sacrificial love. Interestingly, agape love was not a word that would have been applied to a marriage relationship before Paul used it in that way. So that's really interesting. Paul's teaching challenged the way Christians thought about marriage. And he told husbands that they should love their wives with a sacrificial love, just as Christ loved the church. The husband's behavior is to be modeled on Christ's behavior. Remember how the disciples were always arguing about who was the greatest? And do you remember what Jesus did? He took a towel and he washed their feet. I think today that might be equivalent to doing the drying up. Jesus served his disciples. He didn't lord it over them. And in the same way, the Bible in no way permits husbands to dominate their wives or use their wives for self-gratification. In fact, it's the opposite. Husbands are to be like Christ. Husbands are to give themselves to their wives so their wives can achieve their full potential. And Paul sums it up in verse 33. A husband must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Challenging words for both sides, but I wonder who you think has the more difficult task. There are big things at stake as we live our Christian lives because the world is watching, and marriage is to be a demonstration to them of Christ and the church. Submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. So I'm going to spend a bit of time now on the second and third pairs that Paul addresses. Firstly, children and parents. Chapter 6 begins by addressing children. And Paul uses a stronger word than submit. He uses the word obey. And he wants children to obey their parents as to the Lord, in the Lord. For this is right. And then he uses one of the Ten Commandments. He says, honor your father and mother with a promise that it will go well with you and you will live a long life on the earth. That's interesting, isn't it? How does that work out? Well, I think it's in a more general way that if you follow the good, wise advice of your parents, you're less likely to do foolish things and cause yourself difficulty and perhaps illness and things like that. And then he goes on. And then we need to think about how far should young people obey their parents? And Paul says, must respect them, must follow them in the Lord, must obey them in the Lord. Again, the child or young person should be looking to obey their parents in every area that does not conflict with following the Lord. Now Paul turns his attention to parents. And this is really interesting. He tells fathers not to exasperate their children. Now, in Paul's time, in Paul's culture, parents would be very harsh with their children. Not like today, I think. They would be very harsh. Now, today, this isn't the time for a parenting course. I'll leave that to Ruthie to teach things like parenting. But we know that raising children is really difficult. And it's difficult to know where to put the boundaries in. And children watch their parents and they imitate their parents and their grandparents. So it's really important that we as parents, as grandparents, as uncles and aunts, that we don't exasperate them. And that also, very clearly, Paul says it's the parents' responsibility to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So we can't leave that responsibility to the church, to children's church. It's every parent's responsibility to bring up their children in the instruction of the Lord. And that's a challenge to all of us, to encourage parents, if we're not parents ourselves, to encourage parents as they do that and to support them as they do that. And the final two groups of people that Paul addresses are slaves and masters. Now, because of this passage, Paul has been accused of condoning slavery. Well, in actual fact, in Paul's letter to Philemon, which you may have read, Paul hints to Philemon, who is a slave owner, that he should release his slave Onesimus. So in actual fact, in this passage in Ephesians, Paul isn't positively condoning slavery. He's just dealing with the situation as it stood in his day. And he tells slaves to obey their masters. The principle applies to today's world of employment. A boss deserves respect and good service from his employee, and how much more if the employee is a Christian? But incredibly, Paul then tells masters to treat their slaves in the same way. Can you imagine how countercultural that was? And he says they should do this because their master is God, who does not consider the boss any more important than the employee. They both have equal status in God's eyes. And so we can apply that to our everyday lives too. How do we treat people who serve us? How do we treat people who serve us in the workplace? Or maybe when we're out and about in a shop or in a cafe? Or maybe when a workman comes to our home or a mechanic services our car? How do we treat people who serve us? And then how do we treat people who serve us once removed? For example, those people who make products that we buy. Cocoa is an example of a product that is often used to make chocolate. But did you know that cocoa in Africa is usually harvested by young children, some who have been trafficked into slavery? So buying fair trade chocolate is a way that we can not oppress others in our daily lives. So our key text today was submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. Wives are called to submit to their husbands and husbands to love their wives. And it's done in an attitude of mutual submission, reverencing Christ. And then as children obey their parents and parents raise their children with kindness in the Lord, again, this is all to be done in an attitude of wanting to please Jesus. And as employees serve their employers, and as employers treat their employees with fairness, again, it's all to be done with a realization that Christ is the one that they're serving. So, we've looked at household codes for Christian homes and workplaces, and there are challenges and choices, aren't there? So, let's submit to each other out of reverence for Christ so that we can show the world how much Christ loves the church and how much we love one another and how we can invite them in to join the family of God.